Listen up, pay attention, class in session. Vinny Aceto is on the air.
You better get me to school on time. Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to be a part of the game. Join us on the sidelines with your host, a man who skies above the competition, covers every story, and makes the game-winning buzzer beater every show.
On an alley-oop.
Vinny Aceto.
That's me.
This is my final exam. Now y'all know who I am. I might not be that perfect son, but y'all be rocking when I'm done.
And welcome to the New York City version of Bracketville. The PSAL basketball tournament began this week in a February frenzy that's sure to turn into another march through madness. And we'll have our usual news and notes from around town and plenty more as we present you an all-access pass as you go on the sidelines with the aforementioned Vinny Aceto. That's me, Doug Porter, the head coach of the Mott Haven Campus Mavericks, the White Shadow, as we like to call him here now, joins us to take a sneak peek into the boys' Class A second season. They're the top seed in the Class A division of boys' PSAL basketball. And we'll also take a tour around the girls' and boys' AA playoff road with Elio Velez of MSGVarsity.com, freaking contributor to the broadcast, and my very good friend Everett Kelly, the head coach of the Westinghouse Warriors. So if you're looking to score straight A's in high school sports, make sure you get to school on time. Class is in session every Friday at 1 p.m. and now every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as well on Radio New York 91.5 FM. Your ticket to high school sports throughout the entire year in New York City. It's radio. That's so New York. Wow. Are you all in? Linsanity gripping the city. It's amazing, isn't it? Wow. The linfatuation of Jeremy Lin has just gripped New York City, and it's taken it nationwide. Who would ever thought this young man, now they've won 7 in a row, and who knows, whenever you listen to this, it could be 8, 9 in a row. Amazing. Amazing run by the Knicks and Jeremy Lin. What a great story. Really is nice to see a young kid doing well here in New York, and they're all talking about what happens when Carmelo comes back. Who cares? They're playing well now. And if you have Time Warner, you're not watching any of these games, so you got to go to the bars and check the game. I'm sure a lot of people are happy about that, but it really is a media frenzy, and everybody's gripped up on it. Front page, back page news seems like every day with Jeremy Lin. The linfatuation of Jeremy Lin continues here in New York City. It really is a great story. There's few times on this show where I like to go on the soapbox and give a social commentary, and this week is one of them. You know, it's really nice with the Jeremy Lin stuff, but you know, I go to a lot of games, various sports throughout the city, and I go to not only high school games, I've been to college games, and I go to a lot of professional games, Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, Madison Square Garden, The Rock out in Jersey, and we're always hit with the entertainment value that seems that people just can't sit still or be quiet in a quiet atmosphere for less than maybe 30 seconds. So we're always hit with the entertainment, with the music and other stuff, and dancers come out on the courts and stuff like that. But, you know, recently I've gone to a couple of high school events during the football season and now obviously during basketball season, and they have DJs, which is not a bad idea. I got nothing against that. But the music that's playing, I have a major problem with. And this is my little teachable moment for the educators, or you're supposed to be an educator at these events. Why are we playing songs that are profanity-laced? Really, it's just disgusting to be a part of. Maybe I'm an older person now, and I don't like hearing that in my music. And I listen to Eminem, and there's the clean version that you hear on the radio, and there's, you know, the censored version, and there's the vulgar version, obviously. But I listen to Eminem, and I have no problem listening to it in my headsets or at a club. But when I'm in a high school or a school setting, whether it be a football field or a gymnasium, to hear the MF and the N-word repeatedly through every song, and it never stops. You know, it's highly inappropriate because educators, if they said anything close to that in a classroom, would be thrown out of school. Now, they don't have the rubber rooms anymore, but they'd be fired. You'd see them on the front page of the Post. You'd see them on the front page of the Daily News. It's offensive. You got little kids. You got parents. You got moms out there. You got grandmoms out there. Are you kidding me? They need to hear that? Something's got to be done. Someone's got to say something. Someone's got to step up and say, hey, enough with that. Or someone's got to go to the person in charge and say, do we need to hear this? I don't want to sound like a prude. Maybe I am, but there's great music out there, and you could play that same great music. You could play the censored version. You don't need to hear the profanity-laced music that we're hearing at these events. It's just disgusting. I sit with a couple of people, and we just shake our heads. But really, we don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear it, and it turns me off because you don't hear it at a college game. You go to a college environment, you go go to a college game, and I've gone to several games this year, you don't hear that. You don't hear it at Madison Square Garden. So why are we doing it at a high school level? I just wish, you know, a couple of years ago, I did a social commentary. I took a school to task, and I took the commissioner of a particular sport to task because the kids were getting a little rowdy, and nobody protected the kids from the visiting team. Nobody. I'm bringing it out to the public because I want somebody to say something at the next time they hear something like this. Step up. I've done it, and it falls on deaf ears. Maybe it's got to go higher. Maybe it's got to go higher. That's all I got to say. But there's no need in a high school setting to hear MF and the N-word. Disgusting. All right, off the soapbox. Email me at Viacito, that's V-A-C-E-T-O, at media.nyc.gov. I promise to read the best responses to my social commentary right here on next week's show. But still, coming up on today's show, in our final segment, we'll have all the scores from this week's playoff games. Plus, we'll talk A-Division boys basketball with our insider, the head coach of the Mud Haven Campus Mavericks, the top seed in the A-Division, the White Shadow, Doug Porter. We'll also talk some AA boys basketball with Everett Kelly, the head coach of the Westinghouse Warriors. But coming up next, we'll talk to my very good friend and frequent contributor to the broadcast, Elio Velez of MSGVarsity.com, and the Waving Queens, as we talk girls New York City basketball, as we hear the theme from the contender in the background, as we break away.
Hi, I'm Billie Jean King, and you're listening to the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto, the voice of high school sports in New York City.
Thank you very much, Mother Freedom. You all know Elton John wrote Philadelphia Freedom for Billie Jean King, right? And everybody who plays high school sports in New York City, across the country, college, and even professionally, owe a debt of gratitude to Mother Freedom, Billie Jean King, a forerunner for women's sports in this country and the world as well. And we are back talking about girls' sports here in New York City high school sports with my very good friend, frequent contributor to the broadcast. He's now with MSGVarsity.com. He's still with the Wave in Queens. Elio Velez joins us here on the sidelines. Elio, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Vinny.
Now, before we talk about this, I know you're a big soccer fan.
Yes, I am.
And the big hullabaloo over the weekend was Manchester United and Liverpool getting together. Patrice Evra and Luis Suarez from Liverpool were supposed to shake hands. They didn't shake hands. You see, even Ian Dark, who does the play-by-play for ESPN, said they should do away with the handshake. And you know what? I've been repeatedly talking about that through the years. They should get rid of the handshake thing and everything. I know it was disgusting and everything, and even caused almost a mini riot there between the teams at halftime and then after the game. Oh, just give me your thoughts about that.
I thought it was reprehensible what Luis Suarez did. The whole thing was Luis Suarez was banned for 8 games for giving a racial slur towards Patrice Evra, who is French descent and he's black. Luis Suarez from Uruguay. And he was spending 8 games. Liverpool defended Suarez to the hilt. And prior to the game on Saturday, Luis Suarez told his manager that he was going to shake Patrice Evra's hand when the teams exchanged handshakes. Well, Luis Suarez didn't. So everybody went crazy. The fans were crazy. A worldwide audience saw that.
Did you watch the game live like I did?
I watched the game live like you did. A lot of tempers in that game. A lot of tension in that game. There was a couple of challenges on Suarez. There was some words exchanged during the tunnel at halftime, too, I heard.
Yes, yes.
And after the game was over, Patrice Evra was celebrating, and he celebrated a little too close to Suarez. I think everybody condemned Suarez.
But I like what Alex Ferguson at Manchester United, he took Patrice Evra to task also.
Patrice should not have celebrated as much about it. He should have been a better man, and I think Patrice knows that. And the next day, Liverpool and Suarez, they all apologized, and and time to move on from this because it's just not right. Racism in this game, in any country, is just not right, especially in soccer, a worldwide sport. Ryan Giggs, who is Manchester United's one of the greatest players and still going to 38, said, "I could do away with the handshake. I don't think we need it."
See, thank you.
I agree with him.
Nobody agreed with me because I'm the one who called for it originally.
Well, I remember, I must also use Manchester United because I am a fan of the team. And I think Ryan Giggs is a legend, as you all know.
See, I can't root for Liverpool anymore because they're owned by the Red Sox now.
Well, the Boston owners, just John Henry, was not happy with this, and he does not like any bad publicity. And he came down on them, and just the next day, they had to apologize. So I think it was a good thing. It's time to move on, and it's time to learn the lessons from this.
Right, it's time to move on to high school sports here in New New York City. You're on the sidelines with Vinny Aceto and my very good friend, frequent contributor to the broadcast, Elio Velez, now working for MSGVarsity.com and The Wave in Queens. What's it like now working for a .com?
It's very interesting. I'm very glad to be working at MSG. It's growing. We have MSG Varsity, a high school network in Cablevision, Brooklyn, Bronx, and around the region. And it's growing. We're starting to get our name out, and with the cameras there, and then we're writing. I think kids are excited. The kids are excited to be on TV. The kids are excited to be in print. And we're right there, and I'm glad to be working right now in this busy time because we're right in the thick of it now. We're beginning the playoffs with basketball. I just did wrestling over the weekend for the Catholic States. That was, you know, very exciting. The boroughs. And so this is a very busy time and an exciting time. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Again, you're on the sidelines with Vinny Aceto. We're talking to Elio Velez of MSGVarsity.com and The Wave in Queens. Now it's time to talk some girls high school basketball here in New York City. And first, we'll talk about the CHSAA, the Catholic High School Athletic Association, before the PSAL. And the big story all year long has been Nazareth High School. And they just can't seem to get out of the news. And it's all been unfortunate, not because of what happens on the basketball court, everything that's happened off the court. We've seen their head coach, after moving from St. Michael's Academy into Nazareth High School in Brooklyn last year, Patchy Pascal passed away in January 3rd, I believe it was. Then Christ the King and Bishop Ford were supposed to play games with them. They took it upon themselves to cancel those games, even though that Nazareth wanted to play those games. Mm-hmm. And Nazareth wanted forfeits for that. They didn't get them. It just recently came down the pike now. We've seen also where Nazareth now is being closed down, another Catholic school being closed down.
Absolutely.
This poor school and these poor kids who have gone from St. Michael's to Nazareth have been gone through the mill, so to speak, for the last couple of years. It's really sad.
It is really sad. It's always sad when a Catholic school closes down.
And you went to one, right?
And I went to one. I went to Cardinal Hayes High School. But these are the times right now that Catholic schools are struggling. You know, the economy is not doing well. And these Catholic schools need a lot of money to keep open, pay the bills, to keep the building going. And it's just a tough time right now. We've seen in the last few years, Stella Maris in Queens and the Rockaways closed just last year. St. Peter's for girls, which had a great program led by Bob Daggett, just closed down. Another school in Westchester, Our Lady of Mercy, thing closed down too. So we're seeing the effect of the economy really affecting these schools, and Nazareth is just one of them. I mean, Nazareth is one of those schools that's been around for a long time, and these kids went to Nazareth because, you know, Nazareth was a stable school. It's graduated almost 99% of the students, and they've gone to college. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And these kids wanted to go to Nazareth, and Patchy got them in there, and, you know, they won a state championship, they won a Catholic championship all in one year, and the next thing you know, they have to look for another school. This has been a crazy year and a half of these students. I don't think any kids in the city could go with what the Nazareth team has gone through.
Then you have to deal with also that they're being accused of using an ineligible player by
Correct.
Christ the King and Bishop Ford, and that came down the pike recently last week also, saying that they won't have to forfeit those games. The player was actually eligible to play. The pettiness that goes on, I thought that goes on here in the PSAL, but it happens even more and more frequently in the Catholic League. Why? Don't they understand it's high school sports, Elio?
I understand it with high school sports, but it always involves this human element. You know,
it's the adults, Elio. Let's call it.
You're right. It's the adults, and the adults really play a big part of it. I think sometimes these kids get in between the adults fighting on one another about what the rules are, what the rules are not, who broke what, who broke who. And these kids, they have to go through so much. I don't think we sometimes really ask these kids what they go through to hear all the rumors about their team is cheating or wait for forfeit of a game or they have to go to another school. What their future is, I don't know. I just think, you know, sometimes we adults really have got to just chill, they say.
Let me ask you a question. Seriously, chill. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the business 23 years. Yourself?
Well, eight, 9 years now? Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It means more to the adults, the coaches, than it does to the kids.
To win?
Yeah.
You know what? I could say that, but I think these kids want to win, too. I think
oh, yeah, but it's more important for the adults. That's why you get all this pettiness and this vindictiveness and the jealousness. Is that a word? Or the jealousy of everything out there. I wasn't an English major, fans.
That's okay. No, I think that sometimes adults put too much into the let's just win at all costs thing. I think that that's just not right. I think you have to take a step back, and it's about competition. It really is about it's win and loss. It doesn't mean the world has to end if you lose or do everything possible that's not legal to win. I don't think we should do that. I know that. I think there are good coaches out there and good administrators who doesn't go down that bad road. But there are those few. And in terms of Nazareth, in a way, they're a lightning rod. They're a lightning rod for all of this. Apache Pascal was a lightning rod. He did things his own way, and not many people liked what he did. It all comes down to what he was doing, his program was doing. They were winning. And some people didn't like it the way he did.
Right. Some people complain that he didn't follow the rules, that he would go and try to circumvent the rules or even break the rules. That irked a lot of people, Elio.
But it hurt a lot of people. But what some people accused of them doing came out not to be true at all. I mean, that puts Nazareth in a way of, like, what can we do? I mean, these kids are saying, what can we do? I mean, we're told we're cheated. We're told we're liars. I think, especially with what happened just recently, that the Christ the King and Ford, the decision that came down that they have to play those games, I think maybe it's a way to maybe start the healing process maybe a little bit, if you look at that as a positive. That Nazareth wants to play those games. Nazareth wants to beat those teams. And then I think those teams want to play against Nazareth. They want to play against the best. And maybe it's that situation right there that can maybe curb what's going on, all this nastiness and pettiness that seems to have gone on. And maybe that could be a stepping stone to maybe starting to heal all this stuff. And we just want to cover the playoffs. We just want to cover the games.
And
we don't want to cover the pettiness that goes on. We just want to cover the game.
And how about Nazareth? At the beginning of this month in February, they played finally against Christ the King and totally lambasted them, 77-47. That's why I'm saying it's more important for the coaches. And that's where you see all that other pettiness and vindictiveness come out and everything. The kids want to just go out there and play. And the kids saw what the adults were doing to them, and they actually took it out on Christ the King's team, 77-47 there. I mean, here's a team now also, again, with the backdrop at the beginning of the year, January 3rd, their head coach passes away, their mentor passes away. Then Christ the King and Bishop Ford don't want to play the games. Nazareth is looking for forfeits. Then the league starts to investigate whether a player is eligible or not for Nazareth. And then finally, again, the word comes down from the league that the kid was eligible. No forfeits for Bishop Ford or Christ the King for not playing the games. And then on this past Monday, finally, Nazareth gets to go on the court, play Malloy, and beat them 55-46. So the kids just want to play.
This is their last year. The kids want to play. They want to play as much as possible together, and they want to win, and more so than ever. They want to win a championship. They want to win the Catholic state. They want to win a public state. They want to win. They really want to win a championship, and this team has the talent to do it. We forget about how, maybe sometimes how talented this team is.
Tell me about some of the talent.
Breonna Butler is Syracuse bound senior. She's actually going to the McDonald's All-Star game. She's the only selection to play at the McDonald's All-American game March 28th in Chicago. And that's a big thing. That's the first player, boy or girl, from Nazareth to be selected to a prestigious game. 5'11 guard. She could do a little bit of everything. And when she dominates, she can't be stopped. It just adds a great element for Nazareth, a dangerous element. And Bianca Cuevas, a sophomore guard.
She's awesome.
She is quick. She's confident. She could score when he needed to. She could pass the ball. She is a star in the making, and the Division I colleges are going after her like nobody's business. And she's growing, and I'm telling you, teams are afraid of her. And that she's only a sophomore, and she's just starting to reach her peak. But as you said, next year she might be playing at a new school, so...
Right.
Who knows what's going on? They find a way to win. They have a lot of talent.
Tell me about Sadie Edwards.
Sadie Edwards is a really good player, junior guard, who can defend, who can also score. She can do a little bit of everything. That's what this team does, Nazareth. You could fit them in different spots, guards, forward, even at the top. They have size. They have speed. They can score. And even when they're not playing as well, they did the other night against Malloy, they struggled that game, 55-46, but they played enough defense down the end when Malloy was trying to come back. And that's what they do well. Patchy also preached defense. And when they play defense well, they become a great fast break team, and you can't stop them on the fast break. So right now, Nazareth is the top team, and you have to consider them the favorites right now. Even though this is still a very competitive league. You got Malloy, who's still very dangerous. They're getting healthy, and Christ the King is getting healthy as well. So we're going to have a very interesting playoffs, I'm telling you.
Do you have any idea? They still have to play now these two regular season games against Bishop Ford and against Christ the King. Any idea when the never-ending Catholic League playoffs begin with their endless diocesan championships and then their city championships going into the state championships? Any idea when that begins?
As of now, according to the Brooklyn Queens website I checked out today, Nazareth is supposed to play Bishop Ford on the 18th. Then Christ the King will play at Nazareth on the 21st. Those are varsity games because the playoffs are supposed to begin February 28th. So they have during the winter break for public and Catholic schools to play those games if they had to. So they had time to play. So they rescheduled those games according to the Brooklyn Queens website. They're going to get those games in, and then finally we can get the seedings going. And then this will be very quick. We'll have the diocesans.
Very quick.
I'm telling you, you know what? It's funny when
I'm laughing.
We cover playoffs and we think, oh my goodness, when is it going to happen? And the next thing you know, games every day. And the next thing you know, I'm trying to make my plans to go to Albany to go upstate. So
the never-ending bouncing ball. You're on the sidelines with Vinny Aceta. We're talking to Elia Velez, my very good friend and frequent contributor to the broadcast. He's now working for MSGVarsity.com and also the Wave in Queens. It's time to turn our attention to the PSAL girls basketball scene here, and with the AA specifically, who do not have any playoff games starting until the week of the 28th, when we're going to see games on the 29th and the 1st of March. And number one, South Shore, number two, Bertram, getting a bye. 14 teams making it in the new AA league in the PSAL. Your thoughts about the AA for this first year in the PSAL?
I thought it was great. Well, mostly every night you saw two of the best teams play, and I thought this was long overdue. There are 14 teams in AA, and they're pretty much on the same level, you know, in terms of, I mean, some teams also doesn't have as much talent as, say, South Shore, but every night you saw competitive games. And I was happy with the seedings and how it came out. South Shore was the most consistent team this season, and they got the number one seed. And Bertram has come on as of late like they always do. You know, you never discount an Ed Grzinski team. And
last Friday, Elio, I went to Lower Manhattan, right there on the other side of the Brooklyn Bridge. There's our building here, and then at the other end is Murray Bertram at the Manhattan side. For the first time ever since covering high school sports here on WNYE for 23 years, it was the first time I ever saw them lose at home, and they lost to Francis Lewis, who did a very good job against them.
Francis Lewis did a very good job there. They have a lot of seniors. They're a team that's also tried to gain some consistency as the year has gone on. Coach Stevenson has talked about his girls coming up in big games to play well in big games, and sometimes one day they'll do it, the other day they don't. And against Bertram, I thought it was a great win. I thought it also helped them out seeding-wise. They get the sixth spot, but I think in terms of confidence, they get a lot of confidence. I think there's some really good players there. Thais Purvis is a good player. Jasmine Hamlet, 21 points Thais Purvis scored. She's a very good scorer near the basket. Jasmine Davis is a slasher. I think Frances Lewis is playing very well, like when you need to, as the playoffs come around.
Okay, so South Shore and Bertram are the only two teams who get a bye, which the playoffs start again February 29th and March 1st for the first round, followed by March 3rd with the quarterfinals at Hunter College, quadruple header there. But now the number three seed is Truman, who had a terrific season in the Manhattan Bronx Queens division in the AA.
Coach John Burke at the Truman did a fantastic job.
He's the coach of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
I think he's done a fantastic job with that team. A team that's gone through a lot themselves. They lost Joella Gibson, a talented sophomore. She departed from the school just a few weeks ago. She's now enrolled at Bertram, and they've gone through some injuries. She's not playing there, no.
Right.
She will not play until next year if she chooses to. John Berg has done a really good job molding this team together. They've won some big games this year. They've beaten JFK. They're 13-3. Crystal Pearson is one of those fantastic players. Inside, she is a tough player to stop. 5'11", she's strong. She can actually be almost like a point forward for you at times as well. 15 points a game, 12 rebounds. Linda Fields is a very good point guard. You know, she runs the show there, small, 5'5", but don't discount her from getting to the paint and getting to the basket. I think John Burke has done a great job with a team that's been there. They've been mediocre, 6-6 and whatever, but Burke has done a great job molding that team together, and they're going to be dangerous in this playoffs. Absolutely.
Now, McKee is the four seed. Now, McKee is the four seed from Staten Island, the only representative from Staten Island playing in the AA division there. They play their own league out in Staten Island. I always have a problem with that, but that's another story for another time.
Right.
And they're the only representative from Staten Island because they go undefeated, beating Curtis twice. Curtis gets the number two seed back in the A division with Bob Daggett now taking a lot of his girls from St. Peter's that you mentioned earlier, which closed a year ago, now at Curtis High School. So McKee gets the four seed. Are you surprised about that?
I'm surprised by that because I think, I mean, MSIT is a very good team, but I think sometimes, I don't know what the criteria is when we determine the seedings. Is it not just your league schedule, but is your non-league schedule? And if we're talking about non-league and league, JFK, who got the fifth spot, plays a very tough non-league schedule.
Yes. Well, they play a very tough league schedule also. Remember, they're going up against Bertram twice. They're going up against Truman twice. They're going up against Francis Lewis twice now in this new league. So, plus the crossovers that they're having, they're playing a much tougher schedule than McKee could ever do.
I put into account league and non-league, And then we talk about, and as I talk about JFK, play a tough non-league schedule. They played Long Island Lutheran. They played a bunch of teams, you know, in the Catholic League.
But I don't think the seeding committee is looking at that. I really
don't.
But
maybe I think they should. I mean,
I agree. That'd be too much work.
That's what I felt last year. I thought JFK should have gotten IRC. Too much work. JFK, I thought should have gotten
I thought that slipped by
you. Year too. No, that would not. It sets up a very interesting second round match.
Well, let's go over the brackets. In the top half of the bracket, South Shore, the number one seed, gets a bye, and they will take on the winner of number 8, Banneker, against number 9, Midwood. Banneker making splashing headlines at the beginning of the season when they knocked off Bertram the first game of the season, but they're still with the hangover over the fact of the loss of Chicken Murphy.
It was a big blow with losing Chicken Murphy. There were going to be a great backcourt between her and Shaquana Harris, and that was going to be also the senior experience for this team, because it was a very young team as well. So they were going to carry the team until the younger players did well, or at least learned the system. So they struggled at first. But later on in the season, they won 7 games in a row. They beat Francis Lewis. They beat JFK only by 2, but that was a big win at JFK on the road. Big win for them. And they've grown as a team. And the young players who have come around, Ashanae McLaughlin, who's a precocious freshman guard, who's going to be one of the best you'll see in the next few years, too. You know, Bianca Cuevas and McLaughlin will be those two guards who we're going to see the colleges go after. Deion Coe has finally started to get it together. She struggled early on in the year. I think there was a lot of pressure on her to be the second scoring guard, but she's finally started to get together. Shaquana Harris she's done a yeoman job. Leading the team, scoring, leading the team on the floor. And, you know, she struggled early, but she's starting to get it together. You know, this is a team who plays great defense, they still do, in a tight situation, especially in the playoffs. You got to see whether teams can find a way to beat Bertram at the end, because Bertram seemingly always find a way to pull out a win, especially in the playoffs.
All right, to finish off the top half of the bracket, it's number 5 Kennedy against number 12 Grant Street Campus on the 29th, and they'll play the winner of number 13 Manhattan Center and number 4 McKee, Staten Island Tech.
That could be a great second round game if both high seeds win their first round. JFK against McKee, Staten Island Tech. That could be a fantastic game at Hunter College on the 3rd.
All right, let's talk about now the bottom half of the bracket. You already spoke eloquently about Murray Bertram, the number 2 seed. They'll take on the winner of number 7 Lincoln and number 10 Brooklyn Collegiate on March 1st.
I think Lincoln had a very good year too. They went 10-5 in the league. I think T.D. Hodges did a great job with that team and their growing team. So they get to the second round. Remember, also Lincoln beat South Shore. They only lost by a few points to Bertram. So they can play with these teams. So it'll be a very interesting matchup, especially against Bertram again.
Number 3 Truman takes on number 14 Boys and Girls, and number 6 Francis Lewis will host number 11 Medgar Evers.
I think Truman and Francis Lewis will win those games, and the second round will be, some very interesting matchups. Truman against Lewis, and I tell you, it'll be some kind of day in the second round, that's for sure.
The thing that always puzzles me, and we go 3 weeks without playing a game now, the regular season ended on Friday for some teams like Bertram and Francis Lewis, earlier in the week, last week for other teams, and now we don't have a playoff game until the 29th, and then the 1st, with the quarterfinals 2 days later on March 3rd at Hunter College, quadruple header. I'll never understand that as long as I live. I know there's a week off of school next week, but that's... Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. And then the 10th is the semifinals, and then on the 17th, Madison Square Garden. Elio Velez covers high school sports for the Waving Queens and now MSGVarsity.com. He's a frequent contributor to this broadcast here on WNYE 91.5 FM. Elio, thank you so much for being a part of our program, talking some high school girls basketball here in the city.
It's always great to be back. Thank you for having me, Vinny.
And a big soccer fan, as we mentioned at the top of the interview, so we give him the theme song from the English Premier League. This is Caspian with Fire. Don't go away. The award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto continues with my very good friend from Westinghouse High School next door. That's right, Everett Kelly. We'll talk some boys PSEL AA basketball when we return after this.
Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto on WNYE 91.5 FM, the flagship station for high school sports in New York City.
Thank you very much. Ernie Guarneri, former history teacher at the old alma mater on Ocean Parkway, Lincoln High School, doing his best Bob Shepard impersonation, and we are back. All right, so we talked about the girls' situation. Now it's time to talk boys AA with my very good friend and our PSAL boys AA basketball insider, Everett Kelly, the head coach of the George Westinghouse Warriors. Coach, thank you again so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you, Vinny.
No school from February 20th through the 24th, the first playoff games after this week will be the following week with the second round. I want to get your thoughts about last week first. And let's talk about the Borough Championships, in which there were four games over at York College. Brooklyn Borough Championship was won by number one Jefferson, 68-62 over boys and girls. It's their first win in seven consecutive years, being to the final.
Yeah, it was. I think it was good for Coach Bud over there at Jeff finally to be able to say somewhat they're the best team in Brooklyn this year. I think it was good for them.
Now, here's where things get dicey. Let's talk about Queens before Manhattan and the Bronx. And it was number two Cardozo over number five LIC and A-team, 69-58. And here's where I get bothered. Before we talk about Cardozo winning, which is a foregone conclusion in some people's minds, mine included, why are we allowing A-teams to play in the borough championships? And in some boroughs, they're even playing B teams in the borough championships. Now, if you're not good enough to play against them in the regular season, why are you good enough to play in this little mini tournament, even if it is only for one game and you get ousted? I don't understand that philosophy. You being a coach in both the A and now the AA, maybe you can help me and enlighten our listeners in the same time.
Maybe I will. As an A division team or former A division team, we look forward to doing as best as we can during that A season to have an opportunity to get a shot at some of the AA teams just to see where you really were, because a lot of the AA teams don't like to give the A division teams these non-league games or scrimmages. So for A division team, that's your challenge. Your challenge is get into the boroughs and see what I can do against one of the big boys, the AA teams. So as an A team, I understand why they like the boroughs. They like the borough tournaments.
But even a B team now, you're taking someone who's two levels down playing against them. You're not good enough to play in the regular season. You're playing them now in this little mini tournament. That always seems to bother me.
I'll tell you this. You know, from year to year, the AA's, Brooklyn is always pretty heavy loaded. But in some of the other boroughs, the AA's, you may have a team fall off a year or two. So you may have an A division team that may be better than a AA club, maybe the tail-end ones. So it happens every year. So as a former A team coach, I kind of understand that the B's, is hard to say how we would have any B's in there. A's, yes. B's, I'm a little shaky with.
All right, so help me with this now. What if an A team, like LIC, who played in the final against Cardozo, beats Cardozo? And that's happened in the past.
Correct.
What happens there? Well, that team doesn't get invited into play into the AA playoffs.
Correct. And I know a lot of AA teams don't like it for that reason. In most cases, if you lose to that A division school, it hurts your seeding in the AA playoffs sometime. So, and that can cost you a tough second round game or maybe even a quarterfinal game. So some AA teams don't like it. Because not on any given Sunday, but on any given day, a team can play well and have that Cinderella-type outcome.
All right, so we see Cardozo beat LIC, the A-team, 69-58 in the Queens Borough Championship. In the Manhattan Borough Championships, it was Watley over Manhattan Center, 75-60. And then a little bit of a surprise in the Bronx Borough Championship, we saw Kennedy defeat Wings, giving Wings their first loss of the season, 59-54.
Correct. That's also one of the things in the AA. I know the teams that may not win the division outright during the regular season, sometimes they look for a shot, that third shot at that team in the boroughs in order to have a chance to beat them out going into the playoffs. So that happens as well, and it happened with Kennedy. Good job.
You see, that's my point now. We're playing teams three times during these borough championships. You already played them twice. Okay, now there's a situation sometimes where they split, and this can help them decide who's going to be better because they won that one game later on in the season. But for the come seeding time, and you've been in part of these seeding committees, you have to enlighten our listeners about this. And people always ask me, what's it like? And I've never been in there.
It can be a zoo at times, to be honest with you. A lot of people trying to fight to push their teams up in a seeding. Some, you know, just having other guys' point of view sometimes is good. But most of the time, I'll be honest with you, it may not be much getting done because guys are fighting for themselves.
Right.
There may not be a lot of honesty as to where some teams can be placed sometimes. Sometimes the seedings are totally off in the seeding meetings from the list that we come up with and what the PSAL may still put out there. They only consider what we put together as far as what they have. I mean, there are times when I know we've been in seeding meetings and we may have had a team 15 leaving a seeding meeting and they end up number 7 and 8 in the playoff seedings by the PSAL. The PSAL still has the ultimate say. I think they really look to see where we place teams just to see if they're right, because we're out there at more games than they are. The meetings, I just think inside of them, I can't say that it's really helping much because of some of the agendas of some of the coaches.
Well, because you said that, coaches now are just fighting for themselves, and a lot of times, and you see sometimes when they post up the criteria, they're asking for teams' schedules, and they're looking to see their non-league games, but when the seats come together, it doesn't look like the non-league games mean anything to anything. It's just they're looking at the PSAL results. So then why are we going through these machinations for then?
I don't know. I mean, I know it started with coaches wanting to have a voice as to some of these seedings because they maybe thought the PSAL was not seeding teams right and they just wanted to have a say. So they begin to have these meetings. But just like you said, I mean, we're looking at teams' non-league schedule. We're looking at all these different parameters, but ultimately it comes down to guys fighting for themselves. A lot of guys are going just to not, as far as they're concerned, have their team cheated.
So now you have teams, let's say in the lower seedings, 20s, in the A's and in the B's, 20s, 30s, and even 40s, who now don't play a game for 2 weeks or so, 2.5 weeks, because there's no games. Their season ended, and then you have the Borough Championship, so there's no games there. There's no school then the following week, which is next week, and there's no games. So they're going 2.5 weeks without games.
Yeah.
That's why I say don't play the Borough Championships. Start the season a week later. You're already playing 13 months out of the year as it is.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I mean, that's what it seems like to me, because you start in September and you're still playing in March.
Mm-hmm.
And then forget about the AAU. That's another story for another time. But I don't know. That's my mantra every year and no one ever listens.
Yeah, it's tough to figure out.
What do you do with those teams? Unfortunately, you're not playing this year in the playoffs, but what do these coaches do? They got to go out and find other teams to go scrimmage and play non-league games.
Try to find scrimmages and maybe some non-leagues. You try to get in there. It is. A two-week layoff can hurt a team. 2 weeks without basketball, if there is no team to scrimmage or do anything with, it could be rough.
You're on the sidelines with Vinny Acino. We're talking to Everett Kelly, our PSAL basketball AA insider. He's the head coach of the George Westinghouse Warriors. And just keeping on the one little theme, we're going to be talking to Doug Porter next, the head coach of Mott Haven Campus, the number one seed in the A division. He got a win in his first round game in the Borough Championships there in the Bronx, but then lost to the number one seed afterwards.
Yeah.
All right, it's time to talk about boys AA basketball here in New York City with PSAL and Jefferson getting the number one seed. Are you surprised that you played them twice this year?
No. Jefferson has been playing very good down the stretch. They've had some very good quality wins at the end of the year there. Thaddeus came back and they're a hot team right now.
Thaddeus Hall.
Yeah, Thaddeus Hall. He came back and they're a hot team right now. So it's not surprising with them winning the boroughs that they were able to get that number one seed.
That's got to help them now also, right?
Definitely. Definitely helps them moving forward. Takes them out of perennially having one of those, another Brooklyn team to play against somewhat in the semis maybe, which seeing them again for maybe a third or even a fourth time can really be a difficult situation. Going back to your borough thing.
It's like Major League Baseball. They're playing the Red Sox 19 times during the season. It's ridiculous. Yeah. An interesting matchup in the second round is number 8, Wadley, against number 9 Bayside. That'll be on Tuesday, February 28th. Bayside losing to LIC in those borough championships, and they still get the 9th seed. You see, this is what bothers me.
Yeah, and that's what can be tough. I don't know if they looked at it as LIC as just a team that played well throughout the boroughs, and they didn't want to hurt them with a seed, but that's going to be a very tough matchup. That's a very good game. Very good 8-9 match.
Cardozo gets the 5 seed. What do you think about them?
Cardozo is another team. Ron does a great job over there, so he's going to have his team ready. They're going to have to win a few in order to get, you know, in order to get to the big dance or the big show, so to speak. But they're a tough team. You know, they're well coached, man. Ron does a great job.
Wings loses in the Borough Championship and gets the 4 seed.
Yeah, that that always becomes another one of the things where do we load all the Brooklyn teams up at the top with all the top seeds? They always, in Brooklyn, we always tend to think that they knock one of the Brooklyn teams out in order to give another borough a seed within the top 4. You know, that's how we look at it here in Brooklyn, not to say that that's what it is. So I think Wings deserve that.
Okay, and that's the top half of the bracket. And the bottom half of the bracket, Lincoln gets the number 3 seed. Unfortunately, there was a double forfeit between them and South Shore, so that got them seeded a little lower. They're suffering a couple of injuries later on in the season with Isaiah Whitehead and Deshaun Suber. How does dealing with injuries now at this point of the season, getting ready for the playoffs, how do you as a coach deal with that?
It's tough. You got to look at the games that you had beforehand. I mean, Whitehead missed all of the boroughs. He is very key with Lincoln moving forward in the playoffs. But with these injuries, you leave him out as much as you can. You want to try to get him back if you can. Somehow get him going in practice in some way before the actual first game. You don't really want him to come back and step foot on the court that first game because it could be off timing-wise. Can the adjustment make into whatever the injury was? So injuries are always crucial at this part of the year. You want to try to save your guys as much as possible. And that's something that you think about during the tail end of the season. How can you, you know, you rush your guys to prevent injury?
Now, boys and girls played Lincoln in the Borough Championships for the third time this season.
Correct.
And defeat them in the semifinals. They had to get to the final before losing to Jefferson. They get the number two seed.
Correct. Boys and girls, once again, with Lincoln losing Whitehead and losing in the Boroughs, whoever won out in the Boroughs between those two were going to get the two seed. And that spot would have probably just flip-flop if Lincoln would have been able to get on to the championship. I'm okay with those seeds, the two and the three. Either way, it's going to be a battle. South Shore is the team at seven.
Yes.
That is very dangerous, and they're very comfortable playing against Jefferson, Boys and Girls, Lincoln, all of them. So South Shore is a dangerous team at seven. You know, they just, if they finish out games, they tend to have leads in a lot of big games and lose them late. If they can hold on and make a good stretch, they're a confident team. That's a dangerous team.
Now, your friend Richard Buckeye on the other side of the bridge at Curtis gets the number six seed.
Yeah.
He was really happy and ecstatic about that.
Yeah, once again, you know, not taking anything away from Curtis or any of these other teams. Once again, trying to break up a little bit of clout and all of Brooklyn at the top, and now you want to mix a little of the Staten Island in. Six seed, maybe a seed or two higher than where, you know, you may think they should be, but it's a good seed for Buck. And let's hope we get it done.
And you could see almost in the second round a matchup between them and Campus Magnet.
Yeah.
Or a quarterfinal matchup, Curtis Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah, that's what I was looking. I was looking ahead to that matchup, not counting out Campus Magnet. Lincoln and Curtis could really be a tough game.
Now, what's it like when you're in that seeding meeting? Let's take me back into the seeding meeting. And there's Staten Island, who's a borough amongst itself, let's be honest, okay?
Correct.
Because they play in their own league, and only two teams from that league play in the AA playoffs. Mm-hmm. I wish they would do the same thing with the girls, only the top team and the girls. We already discussed the girls with Elio Velez from MSGVarsity.com. But only one team from the girls gets to play in the AA playoffs. They play amongst themselves.
Yeah.
Your thoughts about that? Plus, they have their own Staten Island High School League.
Correct.
We call it the Sichel here on the sidelines because they're playing against Catholic schools also.
Yes. In the meetings, the Staten Island guys, they go hard for their borough. It's another one of those things where they're fighting to want to be, they just want to be thought of evenly as compared to the other boroughs. And they're fighting to get their seeds as well. It's always tough because, once again, they're playing a lot of their games over there. But they do come over here and play a lot of the teams here in the PSAL within, you know, the Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, and so forth, and Queens. They don't run away from the competition. So Buck does a good job there. And at McKee, they do a great job as well. So they fight for their position.
In every sport. In every sport. So tell me, what are some of the intriguing matchups that you'd like to see down the road, possibly?
Well, that Wings and Jefferson will be interesting. That will be a semifinal matchup. That's a little late down the road.
So you're going with chalk again, with one against four in that semifinal. You're going with chalk. And then you're going to say, then you're going to tell me Lincoln against Boys and Girls, so the top four teams are going to make the seeds?
I'm not too sure about that one. Like I said, a lot is based upon Isaiah Whitehead, as far as Lincoln is concerned. South Shore, I'm thinking.
Really?
I'm thinking South Shore. I'm going to go out there with South Shore. I know they haven't been able to finish, but they're a very competitive team, man. They have a good mixture of size. Backcourt is very good. South Shore is a team that can really, they can come out of the other bracket.
So you're telling me there could be a semifinal between South Shore and Curtis? Wow.
Quite possibly. Everything with Lincoln is on Whitehead. And even if he does come back, how well is he going to be able to play coming back?
Right.
That's also key. You know, just being there may not be enough. He's going to have to come and he's going to have to perform at a high level. Because once again, South Shore is a very confident team against any of these guys. And like I said, I really do like that second round matchup with Watley and Bayside. That's very interesting as well. I really like that one as well. But my sleeper here has to be South Shore.
Well, you heard it here first. Everett Kelly, the head coach of the George Westinghouse Warriors. He's our PSAL Boys AA Basketball Insider, doing a terrific job with the school and here on the sidelines as well. Coach, again, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you, Vinny. Thanks for having me.
You heard it here. South Shore. We're going to write it down, Coach. When we come back, we're going to talk to the White Shadow, Doug Porter, the number one seed for the Boys A Division, when the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto rolls on. After this, this is Neverland. Don't go away.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sebastian Telfair, and you're listening to the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto on WNYA 91.5 FM, your ticket to high school sports in New York City.
Sebastian Telfair, straight from Lincoln High School to the NBA. He's still playing in the NBA 7 years later with the Phoenix Suns. Wow. It can be done. But I think he was the last one. The NBA put a kibosh on that. No more straight from high school into the pros. We're going to continue talking boys PSAL basketball with my PSAL Class A basketball insider, the White Shadow, Doug Porter, the head coach of the Mott Haven Campus Mavericks, joins us here on the sidelines. Coach, thank you so much for being a part of our program again.
My pleasure, like always, Vinny.
Oh, I've been running with this White Shadow thing since the last time you came on, I got to tell you.
I'm enjoying it myself. The moniker, I guess, fits.
Coach Kelly loves it also, by the way, next door at Westinghouse. He came in earlier to talk about the AA.
I love it.
You know, before we talk about basketball, I started the show with a social commentary. And first half, have you been caught up in this Linsanity?
Well, you know, and I don't want to rail on my cable provider too much, Time Warner, but I looks like old Linsanity might force a deal with them because now we actually want to watch the Knicks. So I haven't seen much of it other than the highlights. I mean, I was really chafed the other night when they blacked it out on NBA TV.
Really?
And it was an away game. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting the Knicks here. Why are you blacking it out for me? So, yeah, I was a little upset. Couldn't see anything. So,
well,
hoping that the big guy will, you know, I think with his deal, Vinny, with his contract, hell, he should have asked for stock options instead of money.
Have you ever seen anything like this happen?
Actually, believe it or not, I have. I was in Portland, and I was, you know, just out of college, and my parents had season tickets, and I watched the Billy Ray Bates phenomena back in the early 80s. I want to say 81 and 82, or it might have been 82, 83, where Billy Ray Bates, you know, at that time it wasn't the D-League. I think it was, he came out of the CBA, out of nowhere. Nobody knew who he was. Played, had two incredible years for the Blazers, and really played off the hook in the playoffs. I think he averaged like in the high 20s for a couple playoff series. Everybody talks about that was the last guy like this. And unfortunately, Billy Ray kind of did it off-Broadway, so he didn't quite get the lights that Linsanity is. But yeah, it's quite a phenomena. But yes, I did witness the Billy Ray Bates phenomena. Check that one out. Tell him to Google him.
Now, I haven't been watching the games, but I have seen the highlights. I've seen the interviews after the games. He's so humble and so contrite and so willing to give appreciation to his coach and to his players.
It's refreshing, isn't it? It is so refreshing. Now, I honestly can see how they missed on him. I'm sure, like, just like in the NFL, these combines, you know, they just looked at him and kept saying, you know, athletically, he just can't do it, even though at every level he proved he could. But, you know, there's just those intangibles that you can't measure. And I tell you what, he is amazing. I mean, like you, I've watched mostly the highlights, but, you know, the kid's getting it done. You got to love the story. It's a beautiful story. It really is. Only in basketball, I'm telling you, baby. That stuff doesn't happen in other sports.
Stanford didn't want him, so that's why he had to go to his second choice, Harvard. Well, geez, that's how terrible that is, right?
Yeah, it's
that's your second choice.
Real step down in academics. You're not kidding. Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Sure is.
All right. Now, the other part of my social commentary today was I've been going to games for a long time, since I've been a little boy.
Right.
And for the last 23 years, actually covering them as a member of the media, as well as coaching in various sports throughout the public schools athletic league as well.
Right.
And this phenomenon lately has been entertainment, taking the entertainment world like we see at these professional games and college games.
Yeah.
We always have to be entertained at a stoppage of everything. And recently, I've been going to these games, football games, and now more recently, basketball games, and I'm being inundated with the music at every stoppage, whether it's between the periods, whether there's a timeout, before a game, post-game, and I'm inundated with the music where there's the MF and the N-word being said in a high school atmosphere. Now, I've been to college games. You've been to college games. You go to professional games. You go to Madison Square Garden. You go to the Coliseum, or you go to the Rock over there at the Prudential Center, and they never use that language. They never use the profanity. Why are they using that in a high school setting? I need somebody to explain that to me. When if a teacher, a para, a assistant principal, a guidance counselor, or anybody of that nature would say those words, they'd be on the front page of the New York Post.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I can't disagree with you. Now, we have a music set up at our games, and we're fortunate enough that one of my volunteer assistants also DJs. It's one of his other gigs that he does. So he brings was in his setup, and he has his CD. So whatever popular songs that we have, they're the radio versions that have profanity on them. So obviously they're censored, so we can still play the popular songs, but that type of language is deleted out of the music. So, yeah, I mean, it's first of all, it's offensive, and I'm not sure who's monitoring this sometimes. Now, I have
apparently
seen,
no one is.
Well, I've seen referees during games at times say something to somebody who's in charge to talk to them about what's going on over the loudspeaker. But other than that, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and it can be really bad. I've been in gyms where it's like, ooh, that's, you know, my virgin ears are going to start bleeding.
Am I a prude in thinking this and saying this out loud in New York radio?
No. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The N-words, I mean, I was raised in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, the N-word, you know, nobody was using the N-word in the 60s and 70s. Players that I played with that are black weren't using it. So I really have a problem with both profanity and the N-word, and I talk to my players about it. I get that you guys use it and have reclaimed it or however you want to look at it societally, but for me personally, I just don't like it, and I would appreciate it if you wouldn't use it around me. And so they're respectful in that way, and they don't. So I couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, I don't think it's a good example to set, and you don't need that kind of language to fire up the crowd. You certainly don't need that, and if you want to play the popular music that has that type of language on it, I think you have to get an abbreviated version, a censored version of it. So, you know, I do agree with you. We work very hard at least our facility to not have that go on.
Doug, you know what bothers me is people are so easy and ready to complain and argue and ridicule the coach and call out the coach when he calls a kid stupid. A coach has been fired for calling a kid stupid, for yelling at a kid. So for calling a kid stupid and for yelling at a kid, a coach is fired. But meanwhile, in the same high school setting, we're allowed to say MF and the N-word? No, that's not right. You've gone to college games. I've gone to college games. The language is cleaned up there.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's not done here. Marco Altieri is a good friend of mine. He's the head coach of both the girls volleyball and softball teams at Susan Wagner High School.
Right.
He's created a monster team out there with the volleyball team and the softball team also.
Right.
And he puts a party atmosphere together at those volleyball games.
Right.
And
right.
He gets the whole school coming out to watch the games.
Right.
He has his iPod playing on the loudspeaker. All
right.
Cleaned up version. Great music. He's got the kids dancing in the stands. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he even brings out the marching band, and the marching band comes out and plays. Why can't we have something like that instead of being inundated in my ears with with this foul language?
Yeah, I don't think we need to succumb to it. I certainly agree with that. And we have a great atmosphere in our gym, too, and you don't have to go there. You really don't. And I agree with you. It just gets too ridiculous. And now in the PSAL, you know, one of the, probably the paramount rule change, or the one they've emphasized the most this year, is the profanity rule. They've told us before every game
that it's disgusting.
Profanity will not be tolerated on the court or from the sideline, and they're right. So no matter how much we get upset, we need to watch our language. And, you know, certainly I've been reticent of that. I've certainly, you know, had my slips along the way, but I'm constantly trying to. We need to watch the language. I couldn't agree with you more, especially, I mean, come on, in the society we live with, in the social media, and you know, the way just general media has gotten carried away with what they allow on TV and in the movie theaters. So, you know, I agree. Somebody's got to keep it in check. You know, it's like the, I don't know, the Supreme Court Justice who said, I can't define pornography, but when I see it, I know what it is. So, you know, I mean, come on, let's get real. I agree with you.
All right, let's talk some basketball. You're on the sidelines with Vinny Aceto and Doug Porter, the head coach of the Mott Haven Campus Mavericks, the number one seed in the PSAL Boys A division. That's right, the number one seed.
Yeah.
Were you shocked about it, surprised, or happy about it? And now does that put a lot of pressure on you? That's like four questions in one.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I thought maybe with LIC's run in the boroughs that they might get the number one seed. And when I went to the seeding meeting, everybody was pretty – it was kind of a consensus that there were four of us that kind of separated ourselves. So the arguments between 1, 2, 3, and 4 are not that big of a deal, because especially now that through the Elite Eight, you're playing at home with the higher seed, you want to get one of the top four. Since 4 and 5 weren't arguing, we put basically myself, LIC, Brooklyn Collegiate, and Bedford, you know, right up on the board, and nobody argued that they were the top four. So then we just kind of configured those, and we be honest with you, kind of left it up to the PSAL to decide which way they wanted to configure it. So I was a little surprised. Maybe we got the one. I thought maybe they might give it to LIC. You know, I think our resume speaks for itself.
18-1 in the league, 22-5 overall. Yeah. That explains it right there.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a big win over Lehman at Lehman in the boroughs. So that kind of helped beating a quality AA program. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, I mean, I think that those four teams are really good. But I also think there's another six or eight that are extremely dangerous. And even some of the lower seeds. Like, we had a particularly strong Bronx this year, and we have some teams that are down around the 17, 18, 19, 20 range that are dangerous teams, very dangerous. So I think it's, you know, we're going to be in for a lot of good games, even in the early rounds. I think there's, you know, the word parity probably gets overused, but, I think there's not a huge gap between, you know, the top teams and even the teams down in the 20s. So it's going to be a great playoff. It really will.
Well, the top two seeds, yourself, Mount Haven Campus, and
yep.
LIC,
yeah.
Both beat teams in the AA in the borough championships.
Yeah, yeah. LIC had a heck of a run. I mean,
they went all the way to the final before losing to Cardozo.
Did. Yeah, and they played with Cardozo. So, I mean, Harley does a great job there. And they have, I want to say four. I'm pretty sure he has four seniors that obviously played for his team last year that went to the, you know, finals. So they have tremendous experience. So they're a very dangerous team. I mean, they're seasoned. They have a lot of veterans. You know, I start five seniors. So I think that, you know, a lot of times when you get in the playoffs, good guard play is absolutely crucial. And he has that. And I like to believe I have that. And I believe Bedford and Brooklyn Collegiate have that. So you want to look at the teams that have good guard play that, you know, obviously you need the bigs too. But they control things for you. So, and in the playoffs, that's crucial.
Now, I have to ask a very important question because
mm-hmm.
you haven't played since the Borough Championships.
Yeah.
And now your next playoff game, which is round one after the play-in games of
yeah.
this week are being played. You won't play until Tuesday the 28th. What do you do during this time?
Yeah. It's kind of like Division I NCAA football, isn't it? I mean, you're sitting around forever. It gets a little tedious almost. You know, practice gets old this time of year. So we do kind of a little mini camp. And then the other thing we do is we set up some scrimmages. We scrimmage to Vander on Tuesday. We got Hunter coming in. And then next week we have Bedford, who I love it. Phelps is always ready to scrimmage. He doesn't care what brackets we get in. So
wait a minute. You're gonna scrimmage a team that you could possibly meet in the semifinals?
Yeah.
Wow, you are unconventional.
Yeah, that's what I love about Phelps. He doesn't care. Phelps like, I'm good. I mean, so, and then
wow.
I'm going to scrimmage Norman Thomas, and then we got Bayside next week. So we do a lot of scrimmages to kind of work on stuff and refine. I think at this time of the year, you just want to stay sharp, and you want to stay in shape, and you want to try to avoid injury. I mean, you know, you're kind of
yes.
paranoid when you're running up and down the court, but what can you do? And I think Coach Phelps at Bedford Academy feels the same. You know, look, there are no seats. Everybody knows what we do. Everybody knows we're going to press the crap out of you. We're going to run the ball. We're going to, you know, play 84 feet of pressure basketball, run and gun, organized chaos, controlled mayhem, whatever you want to call it. So, what, you know, we're not doing anything different. I mean, so why not go scrimmage the best teams? I just think it's ridiculous. So I reach out to the best ones, and whether they're in my division or, you know, my bracket or not, that isn't really a concern of mine. And fortunately, when I find the ones who it's not a concern for them, we get it set up. So, yeah, I know that's a little unconventional, but, you know, really, what secrets are left? I mean, come on, Duke. You think Krzyzewski changes stuff? They do the same stuff every year. They
that's
just
why I love
do
you.
It with the best players. That's all.
Well, that's
so,
amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the way it is. What can you do?
All right, so you don't play until February 28th. We expect to have you on that week to talk about round one after that round one win and setting up the second round for the PSAL Boys A Division playoffs.
Happy to do it. Be lovely.
Now, before we go, we have a little special musical theme to send us to our final break. The theme from The White Shadow for The White Shadow.
No, you're kidding.
Doug Porter.
Get out of here.
The head coach of the Mount Haven Campus Mavericks, our PSAL Class A Boys Basketball Insider. Coach, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
I love it. It was great, Benny. Talk to you down the line.
Hello, friends. Chip Nance from CBS Sports. You're listening to the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto on WNYE 91.5 FM, your ticket to high school sports in New York City.
Thank you very much, Jim. Hope you enjoyed Doug Porter. Isn't he awesome? The White Shadow. Came out of left field with that song. That show was popular in the late 70s, early 80s. Ken Howard was the lead in that. He was a head coach. You know, the story went that he played for the Chicago Bulls and he came back. It was in Los Angeles teaching at a inner city school and they needed a coach. And there he was. Ken Howard, the White Shadow. Now it's Doug Porter at Mott Haven Campus in the Bronx. All right, we've had the first round games in the PSAL Boys AA playoffs this week. We saw number 17 Roberson over number 16 Lehman, 41-40. Now they'll take on Jefferson, while number 21 Van Buren stunned number 12 McKee, Staten Island Tech, 75-65, and advance to the round of 16, where they'll take on number 5 Cardozo when they come back from the break. Speaking of upsets, it was number 20 Eagle Academy coming off their 11 forfeits because of using an ineligible player. They defeat number 13 East New York Transit Tech, 55-53, and advance to the round of 16 to take on Wings Academy. It was number 14 Beach Channel, 64, number 19 Thurgood Marshall, 47. Beach Channel advances to the round of 16 where they'll take on number 3 Lincoln on Tuesday the 28th of February. Campus Magnet, the 11 seed, gets by number 22 Monroe, 65-30, and advances to the round of 16 by taking on Curtis, the number 6 seed, on Wednesday, February 29th. And JFK, the number 10 seed, over number 23 Forest Hills, 86-51. They advance to take on number 7 South Shore, while Gompers, the 15 seed, defeat number 18 Manhattan Center, 64-60, where they'll take on number 2 Boys and Girls. Over in the A division, number 40, New Utrecht. Jen Augusto and Justine Paxi doing a great job with the Utes there at New Utrecht, and they upset number 25, Tottenville, in an out-bracket boys Class A division playoff game, 59-52, and New Utrecht now will take on High School of Construction when they come back from the break on February 28th. Murray Bergstrom, the number 21 seed, defeated number 44, Washington, 55-47, advanced to take on Banneker in the first round proper. It was number 20, John Adams, over number 45, Madison, 50-48. Adams will take on number 13 Hunter in the first round. Number 19 Taft all over number 46 Richard Green, 88-33. Taft takes on number 14 Telecommunications in round 1. Stuyvesant over Newtown, 74-47, and Stuyvesant will take on Clinton. While Brooklyn Tech, the number 27 seed, defeated Susan Wagner, 51-49, Brooklyn Tech now takes on number 6 Springfield Gardens. It was 39th seeded Environmental Studies over number 26 Theodore Roosevelt, 75-61. Environmental Studies now will tip off against number 7 Global International Studies. And finally, it was number 23 Frederick Douglass, 52, Morris, the 42nd seed, 39, Frederick Douglass at 23 now takes on CSI on February 29th. And that's the results for the PSAL Boys Class A play-in games for this PSAL postseason. No school next week. A lot of scrimmages and a lot of practice games scheduled as New York City grips and gets ready for a playoff palooza. That's a February frenzy that's sure to turn into a March through madness. I hope you enjoyed this week's program. I want to thank all my guests, the White Shadow, Doug Porter, the head coach of Mott Haven Campus, the top seed in the PSAL Boys A Division, Everett Kelly, our PSAL Boys Class AA insider, and Elio Velez of MSGVarsity.com. For everybody at Radio NYC, I'm Vinny Aceto, reminding you to be a part of the game. Get off the bench, and I'll see you on the sidelines. Don't double dribble. Goodbye.